And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 53 of Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by JP, also known as Jonathan Howe, and we're here to talk about an issue that I think a lot of leaders have questions about. Why is it that some dying churches, maybe they're already dead, or maybe they're in the process of dying, why is it that people within the churches will not recognize that they are dying? Now, also, we are here as well with Amy Jordan to my right in the podcast studio, Amy Thompson to my left, and this is an episode of Revitalize and Replant that I think you are really going to enjoy, not necessarily because the topic is enjoyable, but because the information may be very helpful. So, Jonathan, the way we always do Revitalize and Replant is we get a question from one of our listeners, and that question then shapes what is about to take place in the podcast, yeah. All the content. And we will thank the North American Mission Board, who is our great sponsor for Revitalize and Replant at the end.
Yes.
But I just want to give kudos to them. They are really, Kevin Ezell, Mark Clifton, who joins us for every other episode. North American Mission Board, also known as NAM, is just doing a great job. Many people think they're in the church planning and replanting, but they're also into revitalization. So we're very grateful for the partnership we have with the North American Mission Board.
All right.
Let's hear from Brandon.
All right. Brandon has maybe the most succinct question in the history of Revitalize and Replant. I mean, it's only 53 episodes, but still. He just straight to the point. Why do dying churches not realize they're dying?
Brandon, there's a question. And it's a question worth asking, and it's a question worth answering.
And it's one we get a lot.
Yeah, we do. We do. The reason, and by the way, he gets a couple of books.
Yes, he gets Autopsy of a Deceased Church from Dr. Tom Rainer,
right,
as well as Reclaiming Glory from Mark Clifton.
So, by the way, for you Facebook Live folks, and I guess I need to tell the podcast,
yeah, the podcast
podcast listeners, because we're recording this podcast listeners with a Facebook Live. So I'm telling the Facebook Live that we're recording, and I'm telling the podcast listeners that we have
Facebook
a Facebook Live for this.
So follow us on Facebook if you watch or listen to the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
You may get these early, and you may get some extra stuff out there. You never know.
We might have some fun things to share. Once again, for those of you on Facebook Live, not for the podcast audience because this is recorded, for those of you on Facebook Live, let us know who you are and where you are from, and we'll continue to hear from you. So that's the question, Jonathan. Why is it that some dying churches do not have an awareness that they are in the process of dying? And you mentioned the book, Autopsy of Deceased Church. Basically, I went back on the trail of churches that have died and asked what were some of the signs that indicated they were. Well, this is even a better approach to it. Why don't they know that it's taking place?
All right. Number one, the answers. We got six answers here. Why some churches don't know they're dying. To answer Brandon's question, number one, they are in denial.
Denial is an overarching broad term. It is something that covers a lot of different areas, but essentially they don't. They're not willing to come to a point of reality. They're not willing to confront the reality. Those are the words I was trying to come to. When Jim Collins wrote the book Good to Great, that classic book, he said they're willing to confront the brutal facts on these businesses that made a difference. Churches that make a difference are willing to confront the brutal facts. Churches that are not are in denial. So let me give you some example. What is it that you usually hear when you go to a church and you ask them if they're friendly, Jonathan?
Oh, we're the friendliest church in town.
We are the friendliest church in town. They are to each other. They are not the friendliest church in town to guests because they're in their holy huddles. Well, what do you hear from churches that are dying? We're doing fine. There's nothing wrong. I've given this illustration on more than one occasion, but did a consultation with my son, Sam, and we went in and the church, the attendance had been cut in half over a 10-year period. And when he asked the question in one of the layperson interviews, one of the member interviews, actually it was me, I did that. Why do you think the attendance has been cut in half? Her response was, it hasn't. And I said, yeah, it has.
Here's the numbers. Here's a sheet with them.
And she said, those numbers are wrong. I said, y'all gave me those numbers.
Yeah, that's a quintessential denial.
And here's what happened. They had gone from two services to one service, and it felt like the same people were there. But guess who was there? Her friends.
Yes.
And only her friends. So even though we had the numbers that they had provided, she denied it. And her ultimate comment was, well, we counted wrong.
Yeah.
I just throw my hands up at that. But you can be in denial in so many different ways.
Shouldn't let George, you know, run the counting back there.
Yes, he's doing a bad job of it. He's doing a terrible job
of
it.
But you mentioned it, point number two, you kind of mentioned it in that one. They still have most of their friends in the church.
Yep. As long as you have your holy huddle, you can be a happy camper.
That's well done.
Yeah.
I like that. Put that on a bumper sticker. Well, and, maybe not. That's not a good thing.
Well, it's not a good thing, but it happens in many churches. As long as you have your immediate friendship patterns, your relational patterns, many people are usually okay in the church. Jonathan, I was talking to, I was trying to remember who it was. We had a guest at Jess's church, the church at Spring Hill, and he had actually served in the same city where I served as pastor. We actually had overlapping pastors.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of funny. He said, well, we came here because I wanted to meet you. And the wife says, now, Tom, what do you do? And he kind of hung his head.
Oh, no.
And I explained that. But here's the story behind the story. He was talking about the church where I served. He said, man, that was a tough church you served. I said, yeah, it was. The story that I've given quite often was the lady who confronted me because the church was seeing too many people become believers in Christ. She was upset that there were too many new Christians in the church. What was her primary issue? Her relational patterns were being upset because all of these new people were coming in.
And in that, we've seen the relational patterns being upset. That's a blog post for the future, maybe.
Yeah.
Whenever churches go multi-site, multi-service, things like that.
Yes.
That is really at the root of a lot of the
dissension.
The dissension is that it's going to upset my relational patterns, or I won't see Jim and Sally every week like I do now.
Yeah. And instead of becoming a great commission church, you become a great comfort church. And you like that one too, Jonathan?
I like that. That's like you're two for two.
I've got my Monster Energy.
Not a sponsor plug. But if you want to.
Low carb, Monster Energy, brought to you by Amy Jordan with gratitude for putting it in my refrigerator. So you have these people who still have their friends in the church, and as long as they have me, myself, and them, they are comfortable. And so if they're comfortable, they will be in denial. As a matter of fact, some of them do not want their churches to turn around. They would rather go to the metaphorical grave with their churches and the literal grave themselves than to see the change necessary to start reaching people. So that's a big reason for denial.
All right. Number three, another reason that they don't understand that they're dying is that they have not done a church assessment.
I am really, really big on church assessments. We have one that we offer called the Church Health Report.
Yeah, the Church Health Report. And the reason that you go to the doctor once a year is to know how your body's doing. And know how, you know, what kind of physical condition you're in. You need to do the same thing as a church.
Absolutely. And that's why we have that Church Health Report. If you're interested in it, it's churchhealthreport.com.
Yeah.
For those of you on Facebook Live, for those of you listen, the recorded through the podcast, we'll have it in the show notes.
Yeah. I can put the link in Facebook too.
Oh, we're so technologically savvy.
We are.
We're just real time over there. But they haven't done a church assessment. What can a church assessment do? A church assessment can at least give you the perceptions of the church members, at the very least. Even if it does not give you precise health issues, at the very least, it can tell you what the church members are thinking if it's a good church health assessment. Now, it may be bringing in an outside consultant. I tell you, one of the better ones, it's pretty simple to do, and it's a secret guest, Jonathan.
Yeah, secret guest survey available for free in the leader kit, the leader toolkit, the ultimate church leader toolkit. I think that's what we call it.
Yeah, and it's also in the back of the book, Becoming Welcome Church,
and in the back of that book. But you can get that at TomRainer.com too.
Very good, very good. So they haven't faced reality. And to use your words, it's because they haven't gone to the doctor. They haven't had their annual checkup or whatever that may be. You don't know that you're sick until you find out you are sick. That is one of the most profound things in the world.
That's number three for the day.
Yeah. So these churches often don't know that they are sick because they refuse to get any type of assessment. I I've been in the church consulting business for many, many years. My first church consultation was in 1988. Where were you in 1988, Jonathan?
Elementary school, third grade. Wow. Bernard Terrace Elementary School, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So you were this little kid with hair in Louisiana back in 1988. I was doing my first church consultation. I'm not going to get into the details of that. But one of the reasons I'm very high on church consultation is not because they're human-centered methodologies, but because they force you to look in the mirror. As a church, they force you to face reality because you get someone from the outside, whether it's a church health assessment, whether it's a secret guest, or whether it's having a formal consultation in your church. Church assessments really help. So churches that are dying have not, that's number three, they usually, almost always, have not done a church assessment or they've done it too late. That's another one.
Well, and it goes back to what you talked about kind of at the top of the show with you and Sam going in as a consult. It can be a consultant. It can be, you know, the church health report. That's a lot cheaper than a consultant, but consultants are good too. But it having that just the outward eyes looking, you know, the outward evaluation helps.
Exactly.
All right. Number four, they don't see the decline day by day. Things are slow decline a lot of times in churches that are dying.
You can use all kinds of illustrations for this. One that I have used on occasion was going back to my hometown of Union Springs, Alabama, South Alabama. After being away for, maybe a year or two, you say, well, why was I gone that long? Where my mom had been visiting me. She was a new widow. And so she had been with me a good bit, but I had not been back to the hometown. And I kind of walked around the downtown area, the small town area, and I just saw stores shuttered and things kind of in disrepair back then. I don't know how it is now. And so I told my mom, I said, wow, things look kind of bad in the downtown area, the little town. And her response was, what? Nothing's changed. Yeah. It's the same town you grew up in. No, Mom, there are a lot of stores that you can't get into that I could get into when I was a kid. Why? Mom was watching it day by day. I was coming with a period, probably 4 or 5 years since I'd actually gone to the little downtown area, because Mom lived a little outside of the downtown area. I was seeing it from the perspective of a gap in years, and I saw the difference. That's what happens in these declining/dying churches. Day by day, you don't notice the imperceptible decline. Let's use a numerical illustration. Let's say your church has 150 in average attendance, okay? Let's say that your church loses one person a week, one person. Mm-hmm. That means in 1 year, it's declined by a third. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the numbers work on that?
It does.
You lost 50 people out of 150. That is a tremendous loss. It's very possible, if not likely, that many people in the church would not have recognized that. Why?
Because it's just one person a week.
It's one person a week.
Especially if, going back to number two, if it's not their friends, then they really don't realize it. Or they realize maybe it's a little decline, or maybe they know that, you know, I lost four friends this year, or, you know, people in their Sunday school class, there's four, and maybe you pick up a couple of people along the way and you still see people joining the church.
There you go.
You don't see the back door.
You don't see the back door.
And you don't, you know, so that 52, that one per week that you're talking about may have been 75, but you had 25 new.
Right.
That kind of counterbalance that, and you think, oh, well, people are joining the church. Well, you don't see the others.
Someone's joining our church every other week, 25 joined. Yeah. Well, 75 left. And so you've lost 50. Here's another thing that happens. You often don't see the decline because it's a decline in frequency of attendance.
That too. I was going to mention that.
Oh, well, you can go in and mention that. Why don't you?
Because of the decline in frequency of attendance.
Yes.
They're not there as often, so you don't miss them because you don't see them as much.
But you do see them. And so it's not like they're gone.
Yeah.
And so you say, oh, yeah, they're still around. I saw them a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, you used to see them every week.
Well, and a couple of weeks ago usually really is a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed. People, oh, well, they were just here a couple of weeks ago. And you look at the rolls, and it's been 2 months.
So churches that are dying, many churches are struggling. Even growing churches are struggling with the frequency issue, the frequency of attendance issue. Declining churches are struggling with this, and it's exacerbated that people get discouraged, and so they're coming fewer and fewer times. They're coming at a much slower pace. So they don't see the decline day by day. That's why many churches refuse to admit that they're declining or dying.
All right, the next one you're going to have to explain to me. They think smaller is better.
Well, it's this particular argument took place in the 60s and 70s and even in the early 80s.
Okay.
And it primarily happened with mainline churches where there were more theological issues for Exodus than what we see for the decline today. They're methodological issues more. Some theological, yeah, but more methodological. You're following me on that. And so the argument was, well, God is just refining us. Smaller is
faithful remnant.
Faithful, the remnant. Yeah, well, I don't want to say remnant theology because that gets
into that. That's a little different.
That's a different path that I don't want to go down. But the whole issue was, instead of saying that we're not obedient to the Great Commission and we're not seeing the fruit of the Great Commission, we're just saying we're just small is really good. Now, I want to be clear. Small is not bad in of itself.
Exactly.
I mean,
For small's sake.
Yeah, Mark Clifton also often talks about the normative church. I think he means the normal church. Mm-hmm. Two different meanings there. But the normal church, 65-70 in attendance.
Yeah.
As far as the median goes, and so smaller churches in of themselves are not bad. But if you make the argument that we are getting smaller and that's good, you may be a declining church.
Yeah, Carl Vaders wouldn't even agree with that. And he literally wrote the book on small church.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an honorable thing necessarily to be dying.
That's a good way of putting it,
I've had a lot of little pithy sayings on this one.
That one's a little...
You know what I think, Jonathan? I think I like Facebook Live. I'm energized knowing that there are people out there that are actually tuned in right now watching this. We may have to do this again in the near future.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. All right, number six, final reason that some churches don't know that they're dying, they compare themselves to a church in worse condition. It's the classic, at least we aren't that church.
I would call it the LSU syndrome.
Oh, now, come on. I will come across this table.
Well, you know, you used to be winning a national championship and we're consistently in the SEC race.
At least we're not Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, at least... At least we're not Vanderbilt.
Wow. Those can't pick on the hometown team.
Well, I was trying to think of who usually loses more
Ole
games.
Miss. We can all pick on Ole Miss.
No.
As a Southern Miss grad, I can.
There you go. As a Southern Miss
double
grad.
Double dipping here.
You can. But there's this argument that there are a lot of churches that are in worse condition than we are. Well, they probably are.
Yeah.
But that's not an argument for neglect of the Great Commission, to simply say, you know, that church down the road stinks. We just stink less.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you change the name to your attitude? You'd be the Church of Stinkless. That's that causes pregnant pause on the both.
I bet the domain is open.
I might have it. I'll have to check within my GoDaddy account. Comparisons hurt both ways. Comparisons hurt when you say we're doing okay because that church is in worse condition. Comparisons hurt when you say, oh, I wish I could be that other church that's doing so well. Don't compare yourself to another church. Ask the question, are you being faithful to what God has given you where you are at your current address? And that's it.
Yes.
So don't compare negatively. Don't compare positively. Don't get in the comparison game. You know, I know you're smiling because you know that I used to do the comparison.
Yeah.
Is that it, or you got a comment?
Somebody commented on Facebook Live saying that we should have used Nebraska. At least we're not Nebraska.
Oh, my goodness. Brad Wagner would somebody that obviously knows Brad Wagner?
Yeah, employee.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yes, the comparison game, yeah, you used to keep spreadsheets of churches to compare yourself to.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to make sure I had a dose of statistical reality for the sake of the kingdom.
But I don't think that was it.
Yeah, I'm the same guy that had a makeshift ping pong table in my hometown. It was the only ping pong table that I knew of. It was a piece of plywood that my dad had painted and put on a picnic table. I'm sure it was didn't meet all the right standards, but it did work. But I kept statistical records of everybody who played on that. I made them record their actual score. I kept a one loss, and I even had. Now, this, I don't remember exactly how I did it, but I had a strength of schedule measure.
Oh, my word.
So I could tell if people were trying to
padding
their stats by playing some of the week. Yeah. So I went to strength of schedule and I actually weighted that, and I was still in elementary school back then. So, yeah, I probably.
Goodness gracious.
I probably. Not many.
I'm impressed. I'm not even mad.
We'll make some folks out there a little disgusted with me. The whole thing about numbers, they can be used in such a way that it's focused upon human methodology and even human glory. And I have been guilty of that. But don't throw out numbers. It's an old cliche. It's an old metaphor. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. But that's the reality of it. Use numbers in a way that is healthy. Remember, there were two censuses in the Old Testament. One was of God. Mm-hmm. One was of Satan.
Yeah, one did not end well.
Nope, it did not. It did not end well. But use them for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons, like I have done so many times. So, Jonathan, six reasons. And by the way, if you're still with us, let us know. We're going to be giving some books away in the very near future.
Maybe even do a little Q&A on Facebook Live after we're done here.
Ooh, you mean like turn off the button?
Yeah, we'll turn off the podcast. That's why you got to follow us on Facebook. You get a little extra stuff.
Okay.
It's all you podcast listeners.
So some of the questions that come in could be some of the candidates for the giveaways.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's how we'll know that.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So, Jonathan, to wrap this up, six of them. They're in denial. They still have most of their friends in the church. They have not done a church assessment. They don't see the decline day by day. They think smaller is better, and they compare themselves to a church in worse condition. Those are six reasons why some dying churches don't know that they are dying. And our organization that is helping churches of all kinds, all sizes, all states, is the North American Mission Board.
Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by the North American Mission Board and Church Replanters. More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new ones. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.
All right. Thank you for being here on Revitalize and Replant. Those of you who are on Facebook Live, hang in there because we're going to take a few questions. You can start asking those questions now. For those of you who are listening to this via recorded audio podcast, thank you once again. We'll continue to work together. We are growing healthy churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.